Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
When I was a little boy, I used to like to watch those little Western TV shows, especially on Saturday morning. We lived out in the country, and our reception wasn't very good, but I just loved those. There was the Lone Ranger. There was Roy Rogers. In fact, somebody that knows me very well, they give me pictures in my office. It's an autographed copy of the Lone Ranger, Clayton Moore. Rachel did that. Thank you, Rachel. I look at that thing every day. And so I really like those early morning TV programs. But Gene Autry always said something. He always said, "Kids, I've got a swell story for you today." And that's where I am. I got a swell story for you today. And it's straight from the Word of God. And the thing about stories, they are entertaining, but the Word of God is supernatural. It can change your life. Let's look to the Word of God, if you would. I want to talk to you today on the subject, chosen to be blessed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This is the way we were, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You may be seated. Chosen to be blessed. This is the Apostle Peter. He gives us an enlightening description of who the true followers of God are. There are always people that claim to be followers of God. That was true in the Old Testament. It was true in the New Testament, the life of Christ. It's true today. People would like to say, "Well, I'm a follower of God," but the fruit of their life proves that they are really not following God. And so Peter gives us a real description of who those true followers are. Jesus asked the disciples the monumental question, "Who do men say that I am?" If it was important to Christ who men said he was, it should be equally important to us. Who do men say that you are? Who do men say that I am? And Jesus declared that to be very important. Who are we? We find that in Acts chapter 11, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. We might be called Christians. We might be called the elect, the church, believers. Even in my position, sometimes I'm called a holy roller. I don't really care. But let every city and every dale, even the countryside, every state declare, let the cry go that we are followers of Christ. In the book of Acts, there's an interesting story of what is called the sons of Sceva. And they saw the blessings, the benefits of being a Christian, and they never converted, but they wanted those benefits. And there's a lot of people like that today. They've never converted to Christianity, but they want the benefits of it. And so they went down to a man with an evil spirit and tried to cast the devil out of him. That evil spirit said, "Paul I know, and Jesus I know, and who are you?" They really were not who they said they were. They were wanting to be called something they were not. And then the Bible said this way, "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." That was one bad dude. There were those men, several of those men, and this one man, evil possessed, leaped on them, gave them such a beating that they fled. But they not only fled, they fled. He tore their clothes off of them. They fled naked. So it's very incumbent on us that we need to know who we are, and we need to be able to prove that we have the power of our profession. Jesus warns us that our profession must match our chosen identity in the parable of the marriage in Matthew chapter 22. That's where Jesus declared, "Many are called, but few are chosen." That's always been a haunting verse to me. Many are called, but there's just a group that's called and separated out of that called group. And so Jesus told us, the Bible said it's a parable. It's not an actual thing. I love Jesus' parables because he could tailor make them to fit my situation. And so he said there was a man that had a son, and he had a great marriage for him. And so he invited people to come. But he said they made light of it, and they did not come. And so he was very upset. He said, "Go out to the highways and the byways and invite whosoever will, and let them come." And then Jesus went to look at the people that were there, and he said there was one man there that did not have a wedding garment on. And Jesus spoke to him, and he said, hey, how come you're not dressed for this event? And the man was speechless, the Bible said, and Jesus said, cast him out, bind him hand and foot, and keep him out of this deal. And the Bible said, this is like in heaven. Jesus said, this is like heaven. So he said, this is what's heaven like. He said, there is an invitation that is sent forth to come to heaven. Who is that? Well, the Bible said many, but if you look in the Greek at that word, it means all. It means everybody was invited to come. Some didn't come. Some came unprepared. Adrian Rogers, the great preacher, said, keep the main thing the main thing. When you're talking about the kingdom of God, the number one thing is, are you going to spend eternity in heaven? You know, today I listen to preachers and they talk so much about the benefits, but they never talk about the main thing. They never talk about going to heaven. So Adrian said, keep the main thing the main thing. Jesus said it first, but he said it like this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then he said, all of these things will be added unto you. And so Jesus' analysis of those that were invited to heaven was, one group made light of it and flatly refused. You know those people, they just have nothing to do with God, nothing to do with church, nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with spiritual things. They just don't believe that. They believe when they die, it's all over. That was one group. But then there was another group, and that was the guy that wanted to come, but he did not want to prepare for it. He didn't have a wedding garment on him. When Jesus approached him, he was speechless. You know, I hope that the aversion to dressing for church, when I was a young kid, people dressed up for church. As one preacher said, we were bowed and combed off to Sunday school every Lord's Day. I mean, we got ready to go to church, but today, people show up looking like they just came out of, I don't know where they came from, just like they're flying. Now, I fly sometimes, not near as much as I used to. I was appalled the first time I saw a gentleman flying in his pajamas. People actually go to the airport in their pajamas. And so we haven't had anybody show up here at church in their pajamas yet, but we've seen some people that were a little different. I still like to dress up when I go to church, and I just hope that people's lack of dressing up for church is not emblematic of a lack of spiritual adornment or dress for the kingdom of God that is to come. Jesus declares, this is a picture of going to heaven or not. Those that didn't want to go said, no, we made light of it. It's just a joke. The others didn't prepare. But John the Revelator gives us a clear picture of those that are the true elect, the saved, the overcomers. It's not just the called, it's the chosen. Everybody is called. Invitation is not enough. I get lots of invitations to things that I either do not have the time or desire to go to. And so it's one thing to get an invitation. It's another thing to get prepared and actually show up. One word bridges the awful chasm between the called and the chosen. It's the word faithful. You've got to be faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. For Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. In the middle of that is that word faithful. Many means the called multitude. The Greek language gives us the latitude of interpreting that word many or all. Many are called. All are called. Everybody's called. Jesus Christ is no respecter of person. He wants everybody to go to heaven. Few means the chosen elect. Many are called, few are chosen. Few means the chosen elect, the chosen. Who are they? They are those that sincerely respond to the call and receive Christ in faith. Jesus calls them the chosen. As the Greek may be translated, the elect, the body of Christ. And the Bible talks about broad is the way to destruction, narrow is the way to heaven. What's he talking about? It's the difference between the called and the chosen. Faithful. What does that word mean? It means those that are obedient in covenant with God. God is always looking for faithful followers and is eager to reward them. God favors the faithful. So ask God to protect you and keep you in all of your days, so that you may be the one of the good and faithful servants that God might reward you. The interpreters exchanged the words. It would be better rendered called, faithful, and chosen rather than called, chosen, and faithful. Called, faithful, and chosen. The fact that God calls many or all proves that God is no respecter of persons. I've been so blessed of the Lord, folks. I really have. I've been blessed in every way. I have the contentment of salvation, the assurance that I'm going to die and go to be with Jesus forever. That's the greatest blessing of all. But the Lord's also blessed me in so many other ways. He's blessed me with divine health. He's blessed me with an amazing family. He's blessed me with great friends. He's blessed me to be the leader of this great church, this great building on the interstate here, America's busiest freeway, Interstate 35. Thousands of people come here. It's such a joy. This is just a blessing of the Lord. And you look back and say, well, why is that? Is it because your parents were rich? They were not. Was it because you were born with royalty? I certainly was not. There is some reason why God has chosen to bless me. And there's a reason why God chooses to bless people. And the good news is he's no respecter of persons, which means what? It means you don't even have to know your daddy's name to be blessed of God. You don't have to come from a rich family. You don't have to be from a certain race. You don't have to have a certain countenance. You don't have to be a certain height. You don't have to have a certain body style. You don't have to have a certain personality. The Bible said he is no respecter of persons. He said the call goes out to many. The call goes out to everybody. The fact that he calls everybody proves that God is no respecter of person. But the fact that he chooses just a few, proves that he rewards faithfulness. As much as God would like everybody to be saved and come into his kingdom, the Bible is clear and clear, that's not a fact. It's not going to happen. God is going to choose from those that he calls, and that is those that are faithful. The Bible declares, but without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you want to be part of the chosen, you must seek the Lord. The Bible said, knock, it'll open. It said, seek and you will find. Ask and God will answer. And so you must seek the Lord. Now to the words of my text. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past you were not a people, but you're now the people of God. That's one of my favorite phrases in the entire Bible. You were not a people, but now you're the people of God. The Bible said it this way in another place. It said you were aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, and now you're the citizens of God. Oh, it's an amazing thing. I think about those people that so desperately try to get across our border to become American citizens. I can understand that. If I was in anywhere but America, I would do my best to get here legally, and if I couldn't get here legally, I would become an illegal immigrant. This is the greatest place in the world. I'd hide in the shadows to be in America, and so my heart goes out to them. I don't get in politics, and I don't make the decisions, and I try to subdue my own opinions when they come up, but I'm going to tell you what. If I wasn't in America, I'd get here as quick as I could, and I'll go a little further than that. I did not have the privilege of born in Texas. I was born of all places in Illinois. Man, that's one of the highest taxes in America. As soon as I got out of there. God bless all you people in Illinois. I got to Texas just as quick as I can. But I want to tell you that God has blessed me so much. But when you look at my background, there's no reason for me to be as blessed as I am, Tanya. There's just no reason for it. And when I realized it wasn't because my mama or my daddy or my color, or my race, or my education, I have to dig a little deeper and say, why am I so blessed? I've had people ask me that. I've had people ask me, actually tell me, I don't know why you're so blessed. I do things better than you. I'm more talented than you. Oh, thank God that God's blessing is not decided on your talent or your stature. You know, if I was as tall as Tim Duncan, I'd be a great basketball player too. But I didn't make that. But God said, even though you're not Tim Duncan, you're going to be blessed. God is choosing people to bless them. And you need to put your hand up real high and say, hey, God, I'm ready to step out of the group here. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. His eyes are running to and fro. I love that verse. His eyes are running to and fro to show himself strong. If you will just say, God, I want to be one of the chosen. It's not enough to be called. I want to be one of the chosen. And so you were in times past, not a people, but now you are the people. A peculiar people. You know, when we were young kids in church, a lot of people thought that peculiarity meant oddball. You know, you're an oddball. And believe me, the people I was raised with in some of those little Pentecostal churches, they had that down to a T. They had that peculiarity, that oddball status figured out, except that's not what it means. That word peculiar there means set apart. It means solitaire. Did you ever see somebody get a ring and they have it? It's just got such one big diamond, right? That's called a solitaire. And that's what God said. You are the set apart. You're the solitaire. You're the peculiar. You're the unique. You are the chosen. And friend, anybody can become the chosen if they want to be. Number one, you've got to hear the call. Secondly, you've got to become faithful. And third, then you can realize, hey, now I am chosen to be blessed of the Lord. Number one, we were not a people, but now we are the people. Number two, we were called out of darkness. There are so many people of you that I pastor in this church, and when I talk to you, I preach to you day in, day out, year after year, and you just sit there and amen and shout and wave your hand and whatever. But I say, are they getting this? And then when I get in private conversation with you, it's amazing to me how much you know. And I can say it's not because Pastor Brandon or Pastor Steve are those great preachers. It's that the Spirit of the Lord has literally taken the darkness out of your life and the scales off of your eyes. And you one time didn't know anything about God, and now you know so much about God. You didn't know anything about spiritual things, and now you've got a PhD in the Holy Ghost. You say, what happened? One time we sat in a great darkness. We were not a people, but God made us the people, and he called us out of darkness, and the Bible said now we are in the marvelous light. Oh, thank God to know what we know. And that's where the real joy of the Lord comes from. That's the reason why people are unhappy, though they got $1 million in the bank. They're still unhappy. It's because they are still in a darkness. They cannot see that which is important. And God has not been able to reveal that light that he wants to reveal. Jesus declared about himself so many I ams. But one thing he said is, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And so the Lord has done that. We're the people of God. We sit in a marvelous light that God has brought us into. But now we have this obligation and we have this duty. If you really want to be one of the chosen that God brings, the Bible said, Peter said, this is what we are supposed to do. After you've been brought out of darkness, out of you come into the marvelous light, after you realize I were an alien and now I am a citizen, I am now a child of the living God. He knows my name. We sing that song. I love that song. He knows my name. I know his name. He knows my name. We're on a first name basis. I used to pastor a church. I started in Houston, Texas, and Brother Hunter was the, he owned the big building there we had, and he and his wife were such great people, and he always wanted me to call him Charles, but he was about 20 years older than I was, and I just couldn't call him Charles. I'd always call him Brother Hunter. Finally, one day he said, Steve, I'm going to tell you one last time. I don't want you to call me Brother Hunter. I want you to call me Charles. I said, I just do it out of respect, Brother Hunter. He said, no, call me Charles. I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, do you call Jesus Brother Christ? I said, no, I don't. He said, you call him Jesus. He said, if you can call Jesus by his first name, you can call Brother Hunter Charles. So call me Charles from now on. I'm on a first name basis with Jesus. I call him Jesus, and he calls me son. He calls me Steve. And so it's a wonderful thing we're in that relationship. But now Peter said, once all of this has happened to you, once you have been called of the Lord, and once you have been faithful, he said, you want to be chosen. And he said, this is the real capstone of being chosen of God. The Bible said you can get to a place where he gives you daily bread. In fact, David said, praise him every day, for he loadeth his benefits on you daily. Praise God. I'm going to heaven. That's the main thing. I've kept the main thing. But now, every day, I am blessed of the Lord because I have been chosen to be blessed, not because of who I am physically, not because of who I am in my flesh, not because of my lineage or my family or my parents, but because of what God has done in my life. And every day I want to be faithful to him. But he said, after you have done that, then Peter said, this is what you do. After you realize that you are the chosen of God, he said, you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. I know there are so many preachers and so many churches that they get together, and it's just like a crowd of cadavers. Everybody is quiet. Nobody makes a sound. They give a little speech. Everybody gets up and goes out. That's not the way it is at Living Way Church when this place is full. In fact, we've got about 20 people sitting in here now. And with 20 people, we've got more praise and more noise than some churches do when they got 3,000 there. We just can't help ourselves. Even when we're not in a crowd, we can be all alone. But praise God, we know this one thing. We are the chosen of God. And we're so excited about it. We can't stop our praise. It just has to come out, praise God, because we know that we were not a people and now we are the people. We know we were in darkness and now we're in a great light. And so we just want to praise Him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Most people are as quiet as cadavers in church. They're certainly not going to praise Him in the firmament of His power. Let me tell you, if people don't praise God in the sanctuary, and that's what David told us to do. He said, praise God in the sanctuary. In the firm of His power. I told you a few weeks ago, the firm of His power. What is that? That's any place that's not the sanctuary. That means in the elevator, in the car, in the streetcar, on the bus, on the job, in your home, in your bedroom, in your kitchen. It means walking down the street. Any place that's not the sanctuary is the firmament of His power. A friend of mine was walking down the street with a judge one day, and he met one of the saints from the church, and she said, praise the Lord, Pastor. He said, praise the Lord. The judge said, shouldn't you keep that in church? He said, no, sir. He said, we're going to praise God everywhere. We're going to praise God everywhere all the time. Why? Because we know that we have been chosen and we have been now commanded by God to show forth the praises of Him. Where do you praise God? Anywhere, anytime. If you find yourself being bound, if you find yourself being limited, if you find yourself with a ceiling over you, that's a time to break forth in praise. The Bible tells us that God commanded them, said, those of you that have not been very productive, He said, praise ye the Lord. He said, those that are barren, sing unto the Lord. And when Saul realized that he was losing power, he called David in to fill the presence with skillful playing and praise to the Lord. When you realize you're losing, it's a time to praise God. When you realize you've been very successful and you're winning, it's a time to praise God. Paul and Silas were sent by God down to Philippi to do wonderful things. And they found themselves down there just in a little women's prayer meeting. And all of a sudden, a girl was following them, and she was demon-possessed, and she was saying, these be the men of God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Well, she was a little fortune teller that somebody owned, a literal slave, that they used to tell fortunes because she was demon-possessed. And when Paul got tired of that, he turned around and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I adjure you, demon, come out of her. And she was set free from that demon possession. And when she did, she began to turn around, and she was another person. But the person that was using her for gain was very upset, and he had power. There are a lot of people that use other people for gain. And when you bring them out of that, they get mad at you. When you introduce them to Christ and they're free and they realize they can't be controlled by another person, that person that was doing the controlling becomes very upset. Well, that's what happened. This person had power. He threw Paul and Silas in jail. Now, they were there for the right reason. They had come to Philippi to start a church. They knew the Lord was with them, but all of a sudden they're in the inner prison. And they're in stocks, and they've got chains on them, and they are very deep in solitary confinement. It looked like a time to quit. Did you ever try to do the right thing, and it turned out wrong? Well, it happens sometimes, but when you do, you've got to remind who you are. I am now the people of God. And so I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rejoice because the Lord has brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. It might seem like I'm in a temporary jail, but I'm going to praise my way out of this. And the Bible said at the midnight hour, it specified the midnight hour, the time of crisis, praise God. Paul and Silas begin to praise God, and they begin to worship God. It went through that Philippian jail. Everybody could hear them. The prisoners could hear them. The cockroaches run for cover. The rats scampered out. And suddenly that place was shaken by the very hand of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that prayer is not natural. He said, it just doesn't come natural to me. Well, certainly it doesn't. It's not supposed to be natural. It's supernatural. The Bible calls it the sacrifice of praise. Making your flesh doesn't do what it does not want to do. Singing when you don't have a song. Rejoicing when you don't have any joy. Dancing when you don't have anything to dance about. Clapping your hands when you're not winning. Why? Because I am the people of God now, and I've been commanded to show forth the praise of God. And somebody right now feels like you've been in that house and you've been quarantined so long, you feel exactly like Paul and Silas, like you're in jail. I dare you to get up off of your recliner, get off of your couch, praise God. Just start walking around your house a little bit and saying, praise God. I thank God I know who Jesus is. I thank God he knows my name. And I'm just going to praise the Lord on this Sunday morning. I'm not in a temple. I'm not in a sanctuary. I don't have 1,000 believers around me. But this one thing I have the marvelous light, the revelation of God and who God is, that God is my strength in the time of need, that God is my help when I am helpless, and the angels are all around me. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say to America that it's time that we rose up and not complain about what's going on, but we begin to praise God and begin to confess this awful thing that has happened is beginning to turn around, and what the devil has meant for evil, the Lord is going to turn to good. I'm going to have my job when I get out of here. In fact, I'm going to get a promotion. I'm going to get a raise, praise God. Things are going to be better than they've ever been in my life. Why is that? Because I've called to be blessed. I am chose to be blessed. I am faithful to be blessed. I am blessed coming in and going out. It is the Father's good pleasure to bless his people, and I'm going to be blessed because I'm faithful to him. Another I will not follow. His name is Jesus. He is my only Lord. He is my only Savior. I worship him in the good times and bad. I worship in the church service. I worship in the home. I worship when I'm hired, and I worship when I'm fired. I worship when I'm promoted, and I worship when I'm demoted, because the Lord is my strength and help in the time of need. Can you praise God right there where you are? Jehoshaphat's army in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles was surrounded by a number of armies. Ammon was there. Moab was there. And all the people of Mount Seir had surrounded him. And they were all around. He looked around and he said, look, I'm outnumbered. There's somebody right now watching me feel like you're just outnumbered. Everything's against me. Everything's going wrong. That's when you're outnumbered. Not just one thing, but just like a domino effect, everything starts going wrong in your life at the same time. That's when you're outnumbered. That's exactly where Jehoshaphat was. He said, the number is much greater than we are. They have greater military skill. What can I do? And the Lord said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let the Lord fight your battle. You're not called to fight every battle. You're called to show forth the praise of God. You're chosen to show forth the praise of God. If you want to be blessed and you be chosen to be blessed, then you need to become a praiser. And he said, God, what should I do? And God said, just worship me. And the Bible said Jehoshaphat fell down and worshiped the Lord. And then he got up and he appointed singers and he appointed praisers. Hallelujah. And suddenly they were now an army, not of fighters, but they were an army of praisers. I'll take an army of praisers over an army of fighters every time. Because an army of fighters can fight just to the very nth of their degree of skill. But an army of praisers has a way of calling in powers that are not there. They're supernatural powers. God begins to assist them. And so as they were praising God, God went before them, and the armies were defeated, and they had the great victory. The stories go on and on and on and on. In Babylon, when they were now kidnapped and taken into Babylon, they said, we hung our harps on the willows, but suddenly somebody got a bright idea. Let's sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And they said, we took down our harps from the willows, and we begin to sing the Lord's song. You might feel like you're kidnapped today. You can't go where you want to go and do what you want to do. Friend, it's time for you to take your harp off the willow and begin to praise God. You need to shout it to the rooftop. I am called, I am faithful, and I am chosen to be blessed. And so now I have one purpose in life, and that is to show forth the praises of God. Everywhere I go, I want them to know that Jesus saved me. Everywhere I go, I want them to know I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Everywhere I go, I want to know that the blessings that I enjoy are not because of my intellect, ingenuity, or power, but they are because the Lord has chosen me to bless me. He blesses me from the rise of the sun to the going down of the same. What would be defeat for somebody else is victory for me, for the Lord is truly on my side. He goes before me and makes the way straight. And so we find this such wonderful story about this great man. He happened to be a Gentile, and he was a great leader, the Bible said. He was a great military leader, but an awful thing happened to him. And that was the fact that he developed leprosy, which was a dread plague in that day. It was incurable. But a little maiden from Israel got the message to him that there is a God that is alive. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, after all the ivory-colored colleges have made their decisions, I want to tell you that there is still a God, that God is not dead, that God is still alive. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Israel is the God of America. The God of America is the God of Living Way. He is my God, and He is a good God all the time. He rains down His blessings on me. I cannot formulate the praise that is efficient enough. I cannot tell you the words with adverbs and adjectives fail me to declare the goodness of God. He's lovely. He's glorious. He's marvelous. He's a healer. He's a savior. He's a provider. He's a comforter. He's almighty. His name is Jesus. And He chose me out of 7.5 billion people. He chose to bless me. Everything I am and everything I have is because I've been chosen of God to be blessed. And because of that, I'm going to be faithful to Him. I will not compromise my integrity with the Lord. He's a good God. To Him I will elevate. I'll put Him up higher than anybody. I will not be ashamed of Him. I declare He is a good God. And so when Naaman went through a real self-analysis, he got mad, he got glad, he got proud, he got arrogant, he got humble. He went through the whole thing. But the bottom line is, when he obeyed God, and God chose to bless him, and he came up out of that water after he had dipped 7 times out of that dirty water. He came up, the Bible said his skin was like a baby's skin. And when he started home, he said, oh, one more thing. He said, if you don't mind, find me 2 mules and load them with dirt from Israel. Because when I get back home, I want some ground to praise God on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, some of you have been coming to Living Way Church for 9 to 40 years. I've been here 45 years. Well, you're not able to come to the sanctuary today. The government's got the doors locked for our own good. But this I can tell you, that when you left this place last time, and when you've been leaving it every Wednesday and every Sunday for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you did not leave with yourself alone. You've taken something out of this place, and it's called good dirt. It's called good soil. You need to spread it around your house. And I can see him, Naaman, remembering how he was. And he said, I was a leper, and now I am whole. I was not a people, but now I am the people. And I can see Naaman in a strange land with that dirt from Israel, and he'd stand on it every day. And he said, I will not sacrifice except on that soil. I won't praise except on that soil. I want everybody to know that I used to be a Gentile, but now I'm grafted in. I'm a Jew, and the God of Abraham is my God. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have found a marvelous thing, a marvelous light. We know who God is. His name is Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega. He is the expressed image of the invisible God. And so you say, why are you so blessed? Don't get mad. Join the group. Don't envy. Say, how can I get in on this? Friend, I've never, ever envied other people's wealth. I've only said, how can I get that? If you get a new car, I don't want your car. I want one just like it, praise God. I don't want to take from anybody else. I rejoice with those that rejoice. There's no need to look at us and say, you're blessed. Oh, sure we are. We've chosen to be blessed. But God is no respecter of person. The call is on. God is making a call right now. In Living Way Church, in San Antonio, in America, and around the world, God is calling everybody to the wedding. You can either make light of it and say, I'm not going, or you can try to sneak in the back way and not prepare, or you can dress for the occasion and say, I'm dressing for success. I'm going to do what God says and make the main thing the main thing. I'm going to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And when I do, I'm going to be faithful to Him, and God will choose to bless me, and suddenly your life could turn around. I hate to think what my life would be if I had not made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life many years ago. But I've lived a blessed life. And folks, I'm 70 years of age, And I ain't through being blessed yet. I literally believe the best is yet to come. I've asked the Lord to take me home at 85. That's when I want to go to heaven. I got 15 years, and I'm confessing it's going to be 15 years of blessing, 15 years of seeing people saved, 15 years of revival, 15 years of harvest, 15 years of communion with great people, 15 years of exciting things happening in my life. Say, what right do you have to claim that? Oh, I boast not in myself. I claim that not on my effort. I claim that on the fact that Jesus Christ called me. I heard that call, and I say, yes, Lord, and I'm faithful, and I dress for the occasion. I put on Christ, is the way the Bible said. I have the mind of Christ. I was filled with His Spirit, baptized in His name, threw away my sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. And since that day to now, God has blessed me from day to day, and He wants to do the very same thing for you. Why do you want to be part of a crowd that's miserable, lonely, fearful, in lack, when you could be living a blessed life? I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for our Living Way family that they will not be in despair, but their spirits will be lifted up, and they will realize that all of this stuff that's going on that the devil has orchestrated means absolutely nothing, because our God is greater. Those of you that are members of Living Way, in just a few days we'll be gathered here again. But keep the faith. Believe God. Be people of praise and watch the Lord's hand work in your life, because you are called to be blessed. Those of you that are believers of another fellowship, stay faithful to that church and that pastor if it's a good Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. But step up your game and begin to confess that Jesus Christ is an ever-present help, that He's worthy to be praised. And become a real praiser, not just a congregant, but a real praiser, not just in the sanctuary, but everywhere you go, your voice is lifted to magnify Christ. I pray for you that you will become chosen to be blessed. And then last, but certainly not least, to all, to many that are afar off. That's what the Bible said, afar off. Many that are afar off. That means you don't know Christ as your Savior. Right there in your living room, right there in your bedroom, right where you're watching this program right now, Jesus Christ wants to come to your heart. There is a call, and Jesus is calling you. Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you must turn your no to yes. You cannot try to treat it lightly, to use the word the Bible uses. You can't shake your head in derision and say, oh, I don't believe that. You've got to bow your knee. The Bible said every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Right there where you are, slip out of your chair. Just get down on your knees and say, Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart today. I want to be a part of that army of people that are chosen to be blessed. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, take the scales from my eyes and let me see the hidden kingdom of God. Let me live in that marvelous light. Now, I don't know where you're watching this, maybe in California, maybe in Washington. No matter where you're watching this, there's a church that you need to become a part of. San Antonio, wherever you are, a real Bible-believing, uncompromising, Jesus is Lord church. And from this day forward, you'll be able to circle this day and say, from that day forward, I begin to show forth the praise of God in my life. And since then, I have been chosen to be blessed. In Jesus' name, I pray the prayer. I believe it's done. Amen. Thank you for watching us today. Thank you for sharing with us today. Pastor.